the list. Let's pray. Father, the nation celebrates those who they've lost over this weekend, but we celebrate the fact that we never lose anyone in you. We thank you today that you hear prayer. I thank you for every man in this circle, and I pray right now for their home. I'm not wise enough, Lord. I don't know details, but you know everything, and I pray you'll bless these men and their spouses. We mentioned a couple. This long list of names, Lord. We just pray you watch over. And as our brother James makes this move, I pray keep him safe. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit give us wisdom to know how we ought to pray. And that your Son live in each and every one of us through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have come in the book of Corinthians to the heart of an argument that Paul is making, and I want you to grasp the mind and the heart of Paul, if that's possible. That built on the assumption that I might have some insight into the heart and mind of Paul. And I have been learning so much in just recent years, it reminds me that if I have all the answers, I'm probably going to change them next year. Because truth just seems to keep opening up. Now, I know that's not my heart, so I'm not sure what's going on, but I'll keep going unless I fall. The Apostle Paul, in the heart of his ministry, is jumping back and forth across the Aegean Sea, dealing with church problems. His big base in the east is now evolved in the town of Ephesus. In Ephesus, he will spend 3.5-4 years or so. While in Ephesus, he will answer with letters, and the hints we have within the letters that we have parts of at least 4 of them, but we have in our Bible 2 letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. In his latter days, jumping back and forth across the Aegean Sea, he'll be in Corinth on the other side, from which he will write the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans. These all take place in the 50s of the first century. Paul is now the mature Paul. We tend to think of the apostles as having all the answers right from the beginning, and anybody who thinks that way needs to read about the apostles walking with Jesus and how often they were wrong. Beginning with the resurrection, they rethink everything. But the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, this master Pharisee of Jerusalem, his conversion will throw the apostles into a whole new spin to try to digest the work and the kingdom of God. We must remember that these persons were human beings just like you and me, and that they changed insights as the Holy Spirit gave them insight. Okay? Paul, in his first letter, has told us that he has been influenced by rumors that came to him, and of course he said Chloe's people. And the church couldn't have been that big, so he had this family that were feeding him information. Then apparently the board of elders of the church have been sending some letters over too, because he responds to the things you've written to him. written to me. Now, from the very beginning, he starts out right away in chapter 1 saying, you're dividing yourself into cliques. Now, again, I want to remind you, can't be that many people. But there are Paul, Paulus, and of Christ. And he says, the reason you're doing that is you're not thinking spiritually. You are unspiritual. Men of the flesh. And then he uses that basis, saying, I can't talk to you about the spiritual, beginning at chapter 3. I have to deal with this stuff. And this stuff turns out to be pretty stuffy stuff. So he deals with immorality, he deals with legal squabbles. And I venture this church is not 10,000 people. I venture it's 100 or 200 or 300 at the most. This is the early days of Christendom, okay? But we have this turmoil. Now, we have progressed through the letter, really hit and miss. We didn't drop an anchor. We didn't spend a whole day on should we sue, and we didn't spend a whole day on, but we just touched on it to say we're getting over here till we could get to chapter 12, and we're going to start addressing the spiritual. Now we're coming toward the famous chapter 13, which is love chapter. And I should begin this morning to say, we English readers, if we don't stop and think when we're reading this, don't realize that our word love is used in so many complex ways. And so I love my dog, I love my car, I love my wife, and I hope not in that order. And I love my neighbor, and I love, and we just assume that you don't love your neighbor in the same way you love your wife. We hope. We sure do hope. But Paul is going to deal with the word agapeo. And the diverse words of the ancient language contain within them more than is usually said in the pulpit. Eros, a word that we must not leave out because it's so fun to talk about it. Eros, named, is the word from which we in English get the word erotica or erotic. But eros has to do with passion, usually thought of in the forms of love that is sexual. But eros is all consumerism. In other words, my neighbors have decided we're all going to get closer, so we're going to dinner tonight at a Sperry's Steakhouse. There will be some eros as the baked potatoes Now, we don't think of it that way, but lust, epithumia, lust, has to do with all forms of consumption. And I'll just brush past that right now. That form of lust is this way. I love for myself. Now, the other word, phileo, has to do with mutual. I love Bill, Bill loves me. We're good for each other. And it's reciprocal. Love that word, reciprocal. I'm acting like I know what it means. But back and forth, I'm good for Bill, Bill's good for me. I get. In agapeo, agape, the one who loves, loves regardless of the response of the other. You may think you love your son and daughter that way, and you've endured some pain, But you kept right on loving. But let me tell you, in spite of all that, no matter how darling that daughter is to you, you could reach a point of pain where love could die. God alone has authentic agape. The cross of Jesus Christ is endless love. The fact that we've preached it with, you can repent and get saved, just tells you how fallen our hearts are, even when we understand the cross. God is the God of absolute love, and the love comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And his steadfast, true obedience to his Father, in spite of everything he's enduring and going through, is a testimony to the steadfast love of God that endures. Okay? Paul sneaks love into the middle of this Corinthian book by design, not by accident. We're going to take that whole letter. The reason there's divisions is they got their priorities out of order. The reason they were immoral sexually, the reason there's financial conflict, the reason the two women can't get along, it's the failure of love. Now the gifts, the empowerments, the endowments of the Holy Spirit in their lives become competitive, and they've ranked them because they have missed the central thing, which is the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, that is to make us a kingdom and a people of love. Right? So in the middle between chapter 12, in which we have these gifts or endowments of God, and in the middle of where he has dealt with God gave apostles and prophets, that was last week. I hope at least one of us remembers that. And I think last week I said this. Remember, I teach more than one Bible class, and so I'm finding that my brain doesn't always shuffle the files well. This I did in Donaldson, this I did in Franklin, you know. But you can look at these letters, and the letters progress across time. Books that are written early, when they talk about how to structure Christ's church, they talk about apostles and prophets. Books that are written late, like Timothy, Titus, then they have these officers. Some seek to be, and these words of the ancient world get translated different according to your church structure. There are people who will die for the King James Bible, and the people who want to die for the King James Bible ought never to read about King James. You don't need to know about him morally. And if you don't know, he's homosexual. You don't need to know about what he's accomplishing with his King James Bible, because he's trying to make sure that the Church of England stays Catholic without the Pope and doesn't become Puritan. Reason there are United States and colonies is the Puritans are getting out of town and going to New England to have freedom of worship because of the wonderful King James, who's given them the only Bible can be read in the pulpit. It's called the Authorized Bible. And I always love it when a good person who loves Jesus says, well, the King James Bible is the right and it's the authority. I said, yeah, as long as you don't know history, that works. How we got that authority. Now, remember, the King James Bible is going to take words like episcopos and presbyter and make them bishop. So if a man seeks the office of bishop, now why is that? Because in England we want to have bishops. When the word really means overseer, shepherd. Okay? Or the word deacon, which really means minister. or means servant. Now those titles come in the late books, but the books that are written early, it's apostles and prophets. Do I need to go any further on that? Well, how's that flesh out? Well, for instance, if you're reading a book of Revelations, if you're reading the book of Revelation and you have a good commentary that's telling you how John had to write this from Patmos way late in the 90s and everything, I want you to notice that the book has no reference to the offices of the church. It only has apostles and prophets. That's the book of Revelation. You know what that tells me? Written pretty early. In spite of the genius that wrote the commentary.
Brother Hick, one thing I picked up when you're saying that is how God could take someone with a life like that, and it'll be so many thousands or millions of people in heaven because of that book.
That's right. That's exactly right. You mean King James? You're talking about it. Yes. Absolutely. God's word will go forth in spite of all we do to it. Yeah. More than one sinful preacher has won people to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works in spite of the corruption of the organization. God has had to work through a sinful world since the beginning. Absolutely.
And much to the chagrin of a lot of people, the Holy Spirit works when there is no scripture.
That's right. I wish you wouldn't scratch your eye while I'm looking at you. Yeah. Right. Okay. You all right with that? Now, these books, Paul's going to say, the Holy Spirit is calling you to a life that is beyond it. In other words, does God's Holy Spirit give these empowerments to the church? Yes. Should you seek them? Paul's going to say, no, seek the higher gift. What is the higher gift? Love. Okay? God will distribute His powers. God will set up His officers. God will do all those things. But the office will be an awful thing unless the Spirit of the one who inhabits the church dominates the office. And that Spirit is the God of love who is working through a corrupt, fallen world. I was born within a few months of Pearl Harbor. I can remember as a boy the end of the war. Can you think of that? I've been about a 4 or 5 year old, but I can remember it. I can remember the parades and my uncles trying, one who was a soldier and one who was a Marine, trying to see which one could stand straighter and still salute. I remember that all the way across the history. I should tell you about the presidents that have been in the United States in my lifetime. We've had enough corruption, this country shouldn't be standing. Okay? The only problem between the United States and the rest of the world is the rest of the world may be worse. Okay, that's just a cheap shot. The Holy Spirit is working through these verses. So let's look quick at Corinthians, and then I want to do something. If you begin 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and work down through it, you come to how God has done with varieties of empowerments or gifts. That's verse 4, 12:4. And that the Spirit is working in a way to build up. By the time you get to 12:4, now to 12:12, you have one body, many members, All are members of the one body. Okay? Get to 12:18. Sorry, but I'm jumping. 12:18, God has arranged the various parts of the body, the organs of the body, the structuring body, each one of them as he determines. The choice is God's. He chooses. It's the will of God. And then he goes on to talk about it. Verse 25. God has arranged this so there may be no discord. The body will be in harmony. That's why it has variety. You get to verse 31. Okay, that's the end of chapter 12. Seek or desire or earnestly go after the higher, the more noble gifts. Okay? Then chapter 13 is your famous love chapter. Then chapter 14, you're going to come back to a lengthy talk about languages. Chapter 15, he's going to say, now, brothers, I want to tell you what I preach to you as what's of first and utmost importance. So after all this discord, and let me just remind you, 14 full chapters of conflict. Because the church is not living in the power of the highest nature of the Holy Spirit. Because of that, at chapter 15, he's going to say, now I'll show you a more excellent, what's the priority? What's the priority? What are we going to get as a priority? Christ died for our sins. Christ rose from the dead. And the goal is to live on the higher plane. I'm being loud because I think I need to be. Is that okay? I don't want to just sound like I'm preaching. Please don't let me do that. But it's sounding like it. Okay, so the divine center is to get us to chapter 15 and discuss the resurrection. To get there, in the center of it all, this lengthy chapter on agape, which I'm going to make a standard for Frank Batson to live. I'm having fun now, so I have to tell you that. My wife can't tell when I'm really having fun. Well, I'm going to make a standard, let me take the pain out of, for Gary Heneke to live. But the truth of the matter is, I personally believe agape is describing something that only Christ has ever lived. Love suffers long and is kind. I can't make it through one morning. A little bit of suffering and the tiger comes out. Okay? Got that?
But the point you've made through the years is the fact is it possible for you to do that?
Yes.
Okay, I will make sure you've got that right
there. Frank, you're just like having a second wife. God is love. We are all barbarians who have received the Holy Spirit through the power of Jesus Christ. Christ has united us as sinners to himself, and he is trying to restructure us into his own spirit so that we will live on the new level. Any failure or problem of the church is the problem that we have not yet caught the vision of who we are to be in him.
Amen. Right.
That's it. That's it. Your church has no problems, but what it isn't, the fact that you took me in. I know the church isn't perfect, it accepted me. And all of us together have to be reconstructed to live in Jesus Christ.
Brother Hickey, one of the things that I've read in Scripture that knocks us off sometimes is in an affluent society like ours, people work. But Jesus says, why not be defrauded? Why not just go ahead and be defrauded? And, you know, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I handle that one real well.
Whatever you said, I didn't hear it.
I said I handle that one real well.
Yeah.
defraud me and just see how steady I stand. I'm going to do something, and I can't do this without, every time I do this, I think, boy, I miss Ken Hughes. I want you to look at the end of chapter 13. We haven't even dealt with 13. Here, I want you to look at the very end of it. 12. Now we see through a glass. Some of your Bibles read mirror. Dimly. But then, face to face. Our concepts of God are misty. We don't see clearly yet, but we are going to. Now we know in part, but someday soon, and now notice Paul slips and begins to talk. He's actually talking about himself, but he's been talking to them. Now he says, I shall understand fully. He subtly slipped there to what's going on really within him. He's describing his own journey. Even as I have been fully understood. God understands me, but I have a misty grasp of him. But one day, face to face, I'm headed into the light of his knowledge. Then verse 13. Now endures. You have a traditional Bible, the word will be abide. Faith, hope, and love. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say tongues, wisdom, knowledge, administrations. These are momentary. But the spirit of faith, hope, and love are the enduring. These three, and the greatest, is love. Chapter 14, verse 1. Make love your target. Make it your goal. Make it your aim. Center on love. Earnestly desire the best abilities. But love. At this old age that I am now, it's a great compliment when I receive an email or Facebook face or something where somebody tells me about how they remember my preaching. That's such, I make sure my wife says, look what they wrote. It'd be so much richer if they could remember my love. But I'm not necessarily remembered for that. The kingdom of God, the enduring is love, not the ability. Some ability I have is what I'm remembered for. Now, I want, why I made the reference to Ken, like I'm not remembering what I said 5 minutes ago, I'm going to ask you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. When I began this morning, I described this stage of Paul's life when he left us all these messages to tell you from Ephesus, he's writing these letters to Corinth. We get to keep that as part of our Bible. From Corinth, he's writing a letter to Rome, which got to be part of our Bible. Okay? In Romans chapter 12, I want to show you the same man. This is Paul, the same man. Chapter 12, look at the first two verses. King James, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, I appeal to you, my brothers, by the compassionate mercies of God, through the tender mercies of God, however your Bible reads, to offer up your being, present your body. The word in Greek is a liturgical word that has to do with what you do in worship, like a living sacrifice. You're to bring your lamb, but your lamb is no longer an animal on which you can have a substitutionary offering. Your very life is to be offered on the offering of God, and he calls it a living sacrifice. So from now on, though you are alive, you're to think of yourself as dead. You died with Christ. You've been raised to walk in newness of life. Okay, this is the holy and acceptable. This is what God seeks, and this is holiness. Holy, acceptable to God, and this is your spiritual form of worship.
I like this music because it makes me feel spiritual.
That's called flesh. You think that's spiritual, but it's sensuous. It has to do with what you feel. That is not spiritual. This is the spiritual form of worship. Okay? The spiritual form of worship is the sacrificial inward knowledge that I am no longer my own. I have been raised with Christ to live in newness of life. And I'm coming to the verse you referred to, and I hate it. Better for me to be defrauded than for me to fight back. Now, if you go down through that 1 and 2, verse 2 is going to tell me why I am to think of myself this way. And it is for the renewing of my mind that I would be transformed, that I could discern. Many of your Bibles say prove the will of God, discern the will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect. There's Christian perfection. Where is Christian perfection found? In the mind of God. And my mind is to be rewired, transformed, so that I can think the thoughts of the kingdom. Verse 3 is going to tell me not to think myself more highly than I am. Look at verse 4. We have one body, many members. Sounds like Corinthians? See, Paul's jumping back and forth across the sea. Now see what's going on in him, how he thinks? We have become one members. The members of the body do not have the same function. Oh, it's just like the book of Corinthians. See, same period of Paul's life. So though we are many and we are one body in Christ and individually members of it, look at verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And notice, prophecy comes first, a proportioning of faith. And he goes right on to talk working. The deacon one is verse 7, the serving and service. The teaching one is the second half of 7. Verse 8 is the preacher, the exhorter, and exhortation. The generous giver, the contributors, liberty. Verse 9, we're still working right there. Let love be... Is he putting love right in the middle of the gifts? Yeah, now he's not going to write 4 chapters like he did in Corinthians. He's doing this all in one chapter. But see how that all fits together? He's put it right in there in verse 9. And so he's going to go on and talk about affection. And in verse 11, never be envious, be aglow with the Holy Spirit. Serve the Lord. Okay? Now he's going on to verse 14, and here I come to where you were. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, yes, every day of my life. Yep, I'm good at that. When I pastored Nashville First Church, I went through a horrendous church battle with a man who was had to be among the top 15 members in prominence. Not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of man. Outstanding human being. And he locked in to battle with me. And I stood firm. And I want you to know, I live with whether or not I did right the rest of my life. Why? Because I'm supposed to bless those who persecute you. I can't say I had that spirit every day. There were a couple days there that I could have... Fire from heaven would have been closer to my thinking. Okay? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, he's going to go on and say, look at verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Would you like to know what I have written in the edge of my Bible? Amen, but God help me. Exclamation point. Okay? There's just so much here. I want to read so many things here that I better not. Let's look at chapter 13. Still in Romans. Okay, chapter 13. Verse 8. 8. 13:8. I'll wait for you. Owe no one anything except love one another. Now see, this is where Paul is in the heart of it all. If you love your neighbor, you've fulfilled the whole law. Look at verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at verse 14. That's the end of the chapter. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its epithumias, its lusts. Bill.
Is it significant then that love is listed first in the fruit of the Spirit?
In fact, the word fruit is singular and not plural. Bill's pointing out that love is always the first in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Many Bible teachers think that love is the fruit of the Spirit and that the other words, peace, long-suffering, are descriptions of love. All these books we have about the fruits of the Spirit can't read the ancient language. The English language, the word fruit is always singular. Singular. There's one fruit, and that is the nature of God who died in Jesus Christ, and whose the death of Christ is the revelation of the love of God. Now, between verse 8 and verse 14 in Romans, there is some interesting thing about the fullness of time. Verses 8 through 10 are all about fulfilling the law, and the goal of the law is not to get you to stop eating shrimp. The goal of the law is love, and love is the fulfillment of the law. At verse 11, Paul begins, besides this, know what hour it is. Now, if you're an American, this is what you're thinking. Yeah, we're only 4 months away from an election. We may be able to change the Congress. You know what I mean? That's how Americans think. No, Paul's saying, know what hour it is. And here's what Paul thinks. I think. And of course I'm right. But here's what I think. I think Paul believes all time was fulfilled in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the great hour of God. You and I live in chronology, time. We think in terms of time. But God's time, which is timeless, time itself is time God gave us. It's part of the cosmos, creation. But God's time, kairos, is always now, right now. The born-again Christian, the one who has the Spirit of Christ, is to live in the knowledge that that person, and in this room we're all males, so let me just not have to be careful with this woke pronoun problem. Listen. The man of God lives in the eternal awareness that he is already eternal since being born of God. And though he is living a chronological life, he's living a life that is going to come. And unfortunately, in English, we translated an ancient word, eternal life. But the word eternal is actually in Greek, unaging or ageless life. We are coming to the hour that chronology will die. That's the book of Revelation. And time will be no more. The word in there is chronology. Aging is about to end, and I am already living the eternal life. Know what the hour is. What is the hour? Though I am in the 21st century of life in the United States of America, I am a citizen of the New Jerusalem, and I'm already an eternal being, and I'm to live above the moment. Okay, I am preaching. What happened in Texas is a horrible thing. But if that totally shapes how you think, you're living in chronology instead of Kairos. Kairos is your union with Jesus Christ, which allows you to go through the moments of life. And you live in this. I'm in chapter 13, I was reading at verse 11. Besides this, know what the hour is. The full time now for you to awake from your sleep. Salvation is nearer now than when we believe. Now that sounds like chronology, doesn't it? I think he's speaking of the whole life in Christ. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becoming as in the day, not reveling in the drunkenness, debauchery, and licentiousness, and quarreling and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to gratify the lusts of the flesh. Live every moment in the presence of God because you are already united with Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, you are already enthroned with him in glory. You were crucified with Christ. You were raised up with Christ. You were seated with Christ. Paul says Christ should shape you and not any moment you're living through. The guy who cuts you off in traffic has to do that because he's living in this moment. But you are living beyond the moment. You are living with your mind united with God in Christ Jesus, which is eternal. This is the spirit of Paul when he writes 1 Corinthians. Now, I can't live through an ugly situation and maintain this kind of mindset unless I focus on the fact that Christ is all that matters. I'm united with Christ. This is just life. This is just like getting the garbage out every Sunday morning. By the way, we don't get garbage on Sunday in where I live. But that's just momentary detail. But this moment doesn't define me unless I allow it to. I'm an eternal being living in the... So though I'm going through chronology, one of us is turning 90. Though I'm going through chronology, I am living in Kairos, the eternal person. And because I'm united to God, I must reflect him. And what does the reflection of God look like? Jesus Christ. The image of God. When God first created you, he created you in his image. We failed the image. So God created a new creation, an all new man, who was in fact the image of the living God. What is God? What does God want of you? Jesus Christ. What would I look like? if I was obeying God? Jesus Christ. How would I live if I were living in total conformity to God? Jesus Christ. What does God look like? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the electing God and the elected man in one. And in him we find the will of God, which is steadfast love. So, am I a better servant of God if I publish 13 books? I don't know. How many books did Jesus publish? What is the will? Well, but think what I could accomplish if I just had $1 million. Yeah, Jesus used his millions well. Jesus is the image of life as it is to be lived in the freedom of the moment, because he's the eternal Kairos in a world of chronos, chronology. In a world of aging, he is the permanent yes. And Paul's pointing that out here in the middle of this chapter. Now, he does that in Romans. Romans, in those two chapters, 12 and 13, is the outline of five chapters in 1 Corinthians. Was that helpful at all?
Brother Henry, as you explain that, you can't, some of you can think, I've got to pull myself up by bootstraps and become what you said we're going to be. And I know you've been teaching us the whole time that we have to come under the Lord and in the Spirit, that he makes us into what you talked about, you wanted us to be. We can get so that we think we're being good and loving on our own, and we can. But we have to be under the Lord and hearing the word like we're hearing this morning, and decide to be under the Lord.
Yeah, I can't overstress. I know you're going to know what I'm saying when I say it. I cannot overstress to you, my brothers, enough that I find it in the scripture. This is passive voice. My active form of worship is the surrendered presentation of myself as a living sacrifice. The rest is God's.
Amen.
I don't have to do anything. Now, when I was born again in the new Christian, I had to do a lot. I had to get my tithes in. You know what I found out? I don't have to do anything but what he does through me. I need to get this done. I better make sure what I say to my neighbor. Only if God's in it.
Yeah, right.
Let God lead.
That gives the power to it.
Yes. Let your mind be transformed to discern the will of God.
Can't help but think what Paul, where he's emphasizing to prophecy above every gift. The fact is, that has to come from God, and you have to be completely 100.0% surrendered. And that's his goal of putting prophecy there. There's plenty of gifts, I know, but in love, but I don't know where it's coming from. It just seems like prophecy, you have to be fully surrendered.
I kind of know three or four spots I'm talking about, but on my way driving back to Franklin this morning, I will four or five times, maybe three times, pass under a certain high wire power line where all the birds are gathered. There are certain lines here in Nashville for some reason that they have an appointment. So it's like the men get together at the donut shop, all these birds get together on the line. And they're sitting there observing what's going to go on for the day. I've been retired now for 11 years, and I've joined the birds on the line. I no longer have to go to board meetings, and I don't have to do things, and I don't have any committee structures to meet. God has been good. But what I am now is I am an expert in everything wrong with the church. As an observer from the high wire, I can tell you what I have observed. I believe evangelical Christianity in the United States has lost its soul to capitalism. Our membership live all week long, surviving in the capitalistic world of success, and the church in bid in. So somewhere in our journey across the last 100 years, we lost evangelism and replaced it with church growth, institutional advancement. And we measure our success by structural advancement. By the time these letters are being written, I don't think Christianity had a single church building yet. They were turning the Roman world upside down. But what we Americans call church success is not found in the New Testament. The American church has become a business. And the authentic church of Jesus Christ is a work of the Holy Spirit. And the heart of that God who comes to us as the Holy Spirit is love. And when you live in love, perfect love casts out all fear. When you live in love, you fulfill the will of God and thereby fulfill the whole law. And when you live in love, you will be free. Love does not have to achieve. Yeah.
It's like you could write 13 books. You can be a leader in a congregation. If your motives are what they need to be, you can do those things.
Yes, you can.
So we can beat it up pretty good. I can beat myself up pretty good. But it's like your motives are what counts. I'm just wondering if any of y'all, I was at Lipscomb, and I went through the letters, studying Paul, going through 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love was always the gist of all that. I'm looking at the last verse in 12 that talks about the higher gifts. I don't ever remember. I'm talking about Sunday school classes. I don't ever remember saying love is preeminent over everything.
Yes.
Well, whatever the gifts are, those other things are kind of, they look more like higher achievements. You had to work it. And so I'm sitting here going, am I the only one that's what just was the emphasis? Was all those other achievements? And really, it's just want for you. My wish for you is to want what's best for you.
Okay. Just remember, my last comments were coming from the High Wire Act, where I'm one of the birds observing. and depositing on the moving traffic. Love you guys. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Thank you for letting us do this. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
And next week we meet upstairs.
Center of the building, we're moving up. Where we used to be. Sit down.